In the fall of 2013, the state of New York Unified Court System announced the establishment of human trafficking intervention courts. These so-called human trafficking intervention courts were designed to promote a just and compassionate resolution to cases involving those charged with prostitution, with the intention of treating these defendants as trafficking victims likely to be in dire need of medical treatment and other critical services, according to the press release from the courts themselves. Over the past year, members of the sex worker-led organization Red Umbrella Project have been observing and documenting the human trafficking intervention courts in Brooklyn and Queens to figure out exactly what happens when the courtrooms and what happens in the courtrooms and how they handle prostitution-related charges. And their report, Criminal Victim or Worker, was released yesterday by the Red Umbrella Project. And we're pleased to have this morning Audacia Ray, who is the executive director of the Red Umbrella Project, to shed light on this issue. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on WBAI.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us, first of all, before we get into the details of the report, tell us a little bit about the Red Umbrella Project.
We are a peer-led organization that's based in Brooklyn, and we work to amplify the voices of people in the sex trade. So we do that through both creative and community organizing programs.
I highlighted and talked about in the introduction the court system. Give us some background on the origins of that.
There have been several different kinds of court systems within New York trying to figure out better ways to deal with folks who've been arrested on prostitution charges for a while. Midtown Community Court was established in the 1990s, and there's also a court in Queens that has now become the Human Trafficking Intervention Court that started dealing with young people arrested on prostitution offenses in the 2000s and trying to figure out better ways to support folks who are going through this instead of just incarcerating them. So it has roots in those kind of projects, but also it's kind of related to and an evolution of the way drug treatment courts work, mm-hmm. where folks arrested on drug offenses get the opportunity to pursue alternatives to incarceration programs that are meant as treatment programs.
Okay, so given that background, you've been looking at the courts, particularly in Queens and in Brooklyn. What are some of the key findings of the report? And let's see if we can kind of break that down for our listeners in terms of its significance.
I mean, the main thing that we found is that we really don't think that arrest and court involvement and victimization, and they just don't address economic justice issues that people in the sex trades face. So the intention is that the courts will get folks into services, but we think that having a mandate to do that does not actually really help people get out of the sex industry. It certainly doesn't help them get jobs with a livable wage that are outside the sex industry, and that's a really problematic structure of the courts themselves. But that said, the fact that the courts are recognizing, hey, maybe incarceration is not actually the best thing, is actually a really huge step forward. We also found that, particularly in Brooklyn, black folks are present in the courts at disproportionately high rates. In the Brooklyn court, during our observation period, which was from March to August of this year, 69% of the folks that we saw come through the court were black. And that's a much, much higher percentage than the population of Brooklyn. And of those defendants, there's a charge that's called loitering for the purposes of engaging in a prostitution offense, which is actually a violation on first offense and then becomes a misdemeanor on subsequent offenses. And that is essentially kind of a gendered stop and frisk. It's a charge that has a lower proof of has a lower bar of proof than the charge of prostitution. And we found that through the Brooklyn courts, 94% of the people who were being arrested on that charge were black. So that's a really big concern and definitely connects to a lot of the stop and frisk discussions and discussions about profiling and policing that have been happening over the past couple of years.
Again, just to remind listeners, we're speaking with Audacia Ray. She's the executive director of the Red Umbrella Project. They released a report yesterday, which looks at the issue of sex workers and human trafficking. The report is called Criminal Victim or Worker. And was there a reason why you chose Brooklyn and Queens, or was it just because of the limitations you might have had in terms of looking at these courts?
So the state established actually 11 different courts statewide. It's the first statewide program of its kind. And in New York City, there's actually one in each borough. And so we decided to look at two to be able to compare them and see if we could get a picture of what this might look like statewide. We chose Queens because it's one of the most established programs and because the judge in Queens, Judge Sarita, has been very involved in the process of establishing the courts. And we chose Brooklyn for two reasons. One, because it's one of the new courts, and two, because it's also very close to our offices. So it's accessible to us and our members. Mm-hmm. So yes, and we found that actually they're very different. So, you know, I just shared the finding about the in Brooklyn there being disproportionately Black defendants, and in Queens we found that there's disproportionately East Asian defendants and particularly Mandarin speakers. So mm-hmm. in Queens, 46% of the folks we saw coming through court were Mandarin speakers, and we found that because of poor access to interpreter services and because the services that folks are referred to as part of their mandate, the folks who speak Mandarin move through the system more slowly than people who speak other languages. And that was something that was across the board, but in particular in Queens.
How does this work? You know, after being arrested, for instance, how does how does being arrested affect sex workers, their ability to work in other industries if they so choose after they get out?
I mean, it really affects them. This new court system is, I think, part of creating discussion about what that actually looks like. But the idea of the court system is that instead of people getting incarcerated or instead of people having charges of prostitution on their record, they get to participate in these mandatory programs that are assigned by the court, and that allows them to obtain what's called an adjournment for contemplation of dismissal, or an ACD, which if after they receive that in court, after completing their sessions, they then have a six-month window where they can't get rearrested for any offense. And if they get through that period without getting rearrested, their charge is sealed and dismissed. So that will help them, you know, have hopefully no prostitution charges or fewer charges in general on their record if they're trying to seek employment outside of the sex industry. But the problem is that during this whole process, they have an open charge. And open charges mean that, you know, if they are looking for employment and the employer does a background check, they are going to come up with an open prostitution case. Mm-hmm. And that can be real problematic.
Right. And I think the other issue was, and you referred to it earlier, that very often they'll encounter police officers. Well, this is also folks who've already had their cases sealed, that they get targeted because the officer may recognize them and say, okay, right, you're out here doing it again.
Yeah, so that's something about the loitering for the purposes of right. prostitution charge, that one of the things that qualifies someone for being arrested on that charge is that the police officer has knowledge that the person has been previously arrested. So even if they have gone through a program, completed it successfully, gotten their ACD, and not gotten rearrested, they can be rearrested just because the police know that they've been arrested before, or they're hanging out in a neighborhood that the police have identified as a stroll for prostitution, or they're hanging out with other people who are doing sex work, and those are all things that can qualify them for rearrest. So the ACD doesn't protect people from rearrest, and if the goal is to reduce recidivism, help support people in getting out of the sex industry, it's not actually doing that.
You also point out, and if you could elaborate on this, that they're the standards in terms of how these programs, you know, these ACD programs, trying to get people, you know, out of this system, are not necessarily uniform. That there's a lot of kind of discrepancies or inconsistencies in the way these services are applied, and ultimately it leads to mixed results. Is that the concern?
Yeah, I mean, the programs are selected basically at the discretion of the judges. And so there's no selection process for how a program becomes a mandated program. They don't have particular standards to meet as established by the justice system. And some of that is appropriate because people's circumstances vary widely, and an individual service provider should be able to create a plan with the person in services to get to the goals that they set for themselves. So it would be difficult to establish an absolute, like, you know, these are the five steps you have to take to do this program and be a success, whatever that is. But having programs that are mandated and are not accountable to the communities they serve is really a problem. And having this lack of transparency in the system of, you know, what are these programs? Who runs them? What are they doing? I think is a real concern, certainly for community of sex workers who want to know, like, what services are actually accessible, and also just really questioning the value of services being mandated. I think is a really important thing that we absolutely want services to be available. We're not arguing against that at all, mm-hmm. but to have them mandated by the court is something that is. Should be looked at more.
Again, we're speaking with Audacia Ray. She's the executive director of the Red Umbrella Project. In a moment, we'll give you details as to how to look at the report. I think it's important that people understand it and understand that this is part of a global movement in many ways, looking at human trafficking and looking at the issue of sex work as an issue of, and very often, labor rights and human rights in many ways. Could you talk about that a little bit, that this is a worker-led global movement that's not only here in the U.S., but in other parts of the world?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even just the phrase sex worker is very much connected to the idea of labor, and that, you know, this is a job that most people wouldn't want to do, that some people doing don't necessarily want to, I guess, like many jobs. But it is an economic function that people are engaged in and should be treated as such. And that's not to say that there isn't coercion and labor trafficking that happens in the sex industry. There absolutely is. But that fact does not negate the fact that people who are doing sex work, whether they're in it by choice, by circumstance, or by coercion, have human rights, and those human rights need to be respected.